Welcome to Sci-Fi on Screen, the podcast that goes where no podcast has gone before. We here at Sci-Fi on Screen take a deep, close look at your favorite genre movies of science fiction, horror, fantasy, and comic book land. We go deep, scene by scene. We do comparisons of originals and remakes, and special shows. Just ahead, a new episode. And thanks for listening. Welcome back to another episode. This week, I wanted to throw up a special episode because I wanted to talk about, I had just finished, obviously, the three prequel trilogies podcasting one after the other. Force Awakens has just come out and we are full into Star Wars mania. But I wanted to talk about the prequel trilogy and I wanted to do a reassessment for myself mainly, but I wanted to kind of explain more about why I find the films watchable. And if you've heard the three podcasts, you've probably heard some of this, but I wanted to talk about this in terms of what genre film is and what genre film does. To talk about the four genres that I cover in this podcast, I cover the fantasy genre, the science fiction genre, horror, and comic book films, right? To me, when you're talking about using the word genre film, a genre film is, to me, to my mind, and especially of the four types of genre films that I cover here, you go to see a genre film because there are certain aspects of how it's presented that transcend story, plot, and character, right? So, you know, any kind of story, right? You need a plot, you need character, you need setting, so on and so forth. But in a genre film, some of the elements of the world or some elements of what it's doing are the same. So, for instance, what am I talking about? So, fantasy films, right? Key genre elements in fantasy films are dragons and magic and dungeons and swords and wizards, and it's a whole strange world. And usually fantasy is pre-industrial revolution, right? But you can have urban fantasy as well. But we'll stick to fantasy as a genre, pre-industrial stuff. That's the fantasy genre. If you're going to do a fantasy film, you're going to in some ways have wizards and dragons and heroes and sword fighting and that sort of thing. If you're going to do a sci-fi genre film, you're going to have some kind of technology involved, or you're going to have a setting in the far future. You may have starships and spaceships. Post-apocalyptic, you're going to have a set. You know, something is going to be out of the ordinary in terms of technology, time period, gadgets, biology. Something having to do with science will be extrapolated out and present it to you. And, you know, you won't have a sci-fi film if you don't do one of these things. So it's categorized as a sci-fi genre. If you go to a horror film, you know, horror as a genre, what does horror truck in? A heightened sense of violence and terror and suspense. You're not going to have a horror film that does not have suspense or doesn't try to frighten you or terrify you or gross you out in some ways. That's what horror does. How are people getting killed? How is the killer, you know, how is this horror being perpetrated on our heroes is a part of, you know, what each horror film will deal with. Comic book movies. You know, why do we go to comic book movies? Mostly we're going to see guys, number one, in costume, battling villains, supervillains, right? So we have these costume superheroes who usually have these special powers, battling supervillains who also have special powers. We go to comic book movies to see all that, and as well of all the effects of them fighting and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. To me, as a genre film goer, right, I will watch a genre film if what is endemic to the genre is pulled off well, right? So what I'll call the genre X factor, right? So I just talked about this. The genre X factor in fantasy is blank. The genre X factor in sci-fi, blank. The genre X factor in horror, so on and so forth. If that X factor is happening, if it's really interesting, and if the story is not great and the characters are not great, I'll still watch the film and I may go back and enjoy it. Like I watched Prince of Darkness by John Carpenter. It's a turd of a film, but there's something really eerie and creepy and clever about the X factor of it. The sort of backstory melding physics and the occult as it were. Very cool. And however it plays out with Karp's style, I love it. You know, so I will go watch that film. Is there any character development? No. Is the story any good? That's debatable, but I would say it doesn't really play out that well. It doesn't have that satisfying of a climax. In that way, I'm a genre film lover. So I'll go for the genre X factor, right? To me, when a genre fails completely, all right, I don't think a genre film fails if all that's bad is the characters and the acting and even the story. If there's something up on screen that's novel to me that I'm kind of wowed by, I feel it's a successful film. When genre fails, to me, it's that X factor is missing. Sky Captain the World of Tomorrow is a perfect example. You know, I really appreciated what they went for, but it was so visually the same, and I had seen these kind of visuals in lots of other films, that it just was kind of boring to me, and the story wasn't that compelling. And so none of the other things were compelling me through it. The visuals weren't either, and the conceit that it was all done on a green screen, there were like no sets, which could have been something that I might have said, hey, that's a really cool thing, and which is what I did say before I went to see it. But when I went to see it, I was like, these are boring. They don't look very good. They're not very interesting. You know, and then on the other side, there's a film like Gattaca, which the sci-fi visual elements were like non-existent, but it's a really good story and there are good character development and good acting. So that film succeeds less because of any genre element, but more because of classic dramatics. So to me, the prequel trilogy, to come back to the prequel trilogy, is one of the most maligned, you know, series of movies in the sci-fi canon. Regular viewers hate it. Star Wars fans hate it. Everybody hates it. They're so hated. And they're hated because of the vague storytelling that George does, and mostly because of the terrible writing and the bad acting, mostly from Hayden Christensen, Jake Lloyd, and Natalie Portman, to my mind. You know, you have the standouts, Liam Neeson and Ian McDiarmid, who can actually say some of these shitty lines and make them sound good. You know, it's mostly really bad. Plus Jar Jar Binks, of course, right? And you have Jar Jar in the first movie. And so they're reviled, and people hate them. I have, you know, I know people who just will refuse to watch them again. They're, you know, they're done with the prequels. But to me, pound for pound, it's some of the most purely beautiful visual storytelling ever done in the sci-fi genre. There isn't a special effect shot in any of these three films that is done with less full 100% commitment. The opening battle, space battle, in Revenge of the Sith, took ILM a year to render. 1 year. And you know what? It looks it. It's seamless. One of the most incredible, visually rich space battles I have ever seen on screen. I mean, it's incredible. Incredible battle. You know, it took a year to make, you know? So for me, I can watch these films because of the sheer novelty from scene to scene to scene to scene. I can let go of the terrible acting and all that crap and watch them, right? So what I wanted to do is I wanted to run by you of the, I want to take the three films right in a row and just kind of name all of the novel things that I'm seeing on screen as I'm watching these movies. So I'm going to start with Phantom Menace. We start off the film with Republic era Jedi, which we've never seen before, and immediately they're in action with their sabers. Then we're introduced to the droid army landing, which is really wonderful. The Gungan underwater city, which is beautiful. Theed, the capital of Naboo. Then Mos Espa on Tatooine, a new city. The pod race, the incredibly rendered pod race. We've our first glimpse of Coruscant, with all the great traffic patterns and shadowings that are done there. We see this is the wonderful Senate Chamber, the Jedi Temple, and then the Gungan droid battle. And the Gungans have these really cool tech, this war tech that they have, with the shield that employs, and they have these handheld shields versus the droids, the droid tanks, which can't penetrate the shield, so on and so forth. Very, very cool and very well shot. Then you have the magnificent lightsaber duel between Darth Maul, Obi-Wan, and Qui-Gon Jinn. The space battle and the princess battling for, you know, the Viceroy. Whatever. We've seen that before, so I won't even mention that, right? Then we get to Attack of the Clones. And we start with this incredible nighttime chase in Coruscant after the assassin who tried to kill Padme. This beautiful, beautiful sequence. Some of the most complex effects. Things are moving on screen like you wouldn't believe. in this sequence. Then you have the wonderful nightclub sequence, and we see Obi-Wan's first, you know, bar saber move, first time we see it used. Very cool. We visit the Jedi archives, and we see this bust of Count Dooku, which isn't explained. We see Yoda teaching younglings, and we're talking about astrometrics and astrophysics, about missing planets. We visit the planet of Kamino. Those are the amazing sea creatures that are we see first off, and then the Kaminoans themselves, these tall, beautiful-looking aliens. We witness the clone army being created and all of its majesty, really cool-looking in this massive facility. We meet Jango Fett and young Boba. There's a great fight between Jango and Obi-Wan in the rain, which is really cool. Then another starship battle between the two in the middle of an asteroid field with those cool seismic charges, which is a really cool sound moment anyway. We have the Geonosians, these sort of winged locusts, as it were, like the locust planet. Very cool. There's a goofy assembly line chase. You have our, you know, three heroes versus these three massive monsters, you know, sort of pre-Rancor monsters in the Geonosian arena. Then we see for the first time like two dozen Jedi in full battle, which we've never seen before and never will see since. Amazing to watch, little lightsabers, you know. We see Mace Windu decapitate Jango Fett. Then there's an incredible clone versus droid battle at the end, which is some of the coolest land-based Star Wars stuff I've ever seen. Really brilliantly shot. Then we have the end duel between initially Obi-Wan Anakin and Dooku, and then Dooku and Yoda, right? And that's clones. So then we have Sith, the opening shot in Sith, the incredible star battle happening above the skies of Coruscant. Some of the most beautiful stuff you've ever seen. We see the ARC 130 clone starfighter, which is, you know, to fans is like a prototype of the X-Wing. Vulture droids and buzz droids. These incredible capital ship battles where they're broadsiding each other. I mean, they're rendered in some of the most beautiful, clear, detailed special effects I've ever seen. Then we have the Count Dooku versus Obi-Wan and Anakin lightsaber fight at the end, which is his head being decapitated by two sabers, right? We get a lot of shots on Coruscant, daytime and nighttime, and all different types of lighting and weather. We're introduced to a new character, General Grievous, a sort of half-organic, half-droid henchman. His Magna Guards, which have these wonderful staffs, which lightsabers cannot penetrate, brand new. We have the wonderful Ian McDiarmid in this whole film, in all of Sith, who's really amazing. We have the Utapau planet and all the Utapau citizens. We have the General Grievous versus Obi-Wan Kenobi lightsaber battle, while the clone troopers are fighting the Utapau separatists. We have the wonderful opera scene of the beautiful, which the production designers called Squid Lake, of the Mon Calamari, you know, swimming in and out of these balls. I mean, really amazing. We have the legend of Darth Plagueis, which is giving us more deeper lore into the Star Trek world. And, you know, us expanded universe fans know that it was Palpatine's master, and he was Plagueis' apprentice. We have Darth Sidious versus the Jedi, and then him and Mace Windu, lightsaber battle. We have the end with the Force lightning. We have Vader's inception, basically, him being named Darth Vader. We have the Wookiees fighting on Kashyyyk, the droid army, and these watercraft, which are really cool. The Obi-Wan versus Darth Vader lightsaber battle on Mustafar. We have Vader's physical transformation. While Leia is giving birth to sort of the twins, we see him transformed into the black-clad, you know, villain that we knew years ago. We see Order 66 being carried out across all these different worlds that George has rendered for us, and all the, you know, all these battles that are happening during the slaughter of the Jedi. We see the Tantive IV blockade runner again, which is really neat. Witness the birth of Luke and Leia, right? So all this, and that's not to mention John Williams' wonderful soundtrack, which is some of the best work he's ever done. The soundtrack work, especially in Sith, some of the soundtrack work in Sith is wonderful. It's John Williams at his best. We have the sound design of all the ships and all the gadgets and all the creatures that is done so well. All of the ships, you know, I think to mind the Naboo cruisers, they're all similar in that they're silver and sleek, but they take different shapes, right? Count Dooku's really cool solar sailor that he uses. Amazingly creative ships. the hyperspace sort of hitches that the Jedi starfighters use. Very cool. And that's not to mention all the weapons we see and the design of all the costumes. I mean, massive. This world was rendered in such massive detail. And George took his time, you know? I mean, obviously, he had no, he didn't have to spend much time in rehearsal with actors. So what I'm trying to say here is that when I watch the prequel trilogies, I'm at every 3 or 4 minutes, the scene is shifting into something new and different and startling. That's beautifully rendered and incredibly laid out. And so, okay, yeah, the story is mostly terrible. The dialogue is really bad. The way George conveys emotion is to have his characters say what they're feeling all the time. It's awful. Hayden Christensen, his acting license should be revoked, and he should, you know, be sent to the spice mines of Kessel. Jake Lord was ridiculously miscast. It was an awful choice to make him that young. Natalie Portman, mailing it in, totally mailing it in, never believable in any sequence I could ever imagine. Trade dispute at the outlying Outer Rim regions. Who knows? Who gives a shit? Nobody cares, right? Not to mention Jar Jar Binks, the single most reviled figure in all of Star Wars fandom. Yes, agreed. A horrible, worthless, terrible character that whoever did the Jar Jar edit of Phantom Menace is to be commended. But yeah, you know, he's probably, you know, right at the top of the list. Yes, it's all terrible. But you're sitting in a theater watching this on the widescreen with the sound, the lights down. It's beautiful. And even at home, like, it's just, you know, it's when you get a nice Blu-ray copy of this stuff, it's amazing for me to watch. So I kind of wanted to just do a coda to my three prequel film podcasts because I know these films are maligned, you know, and they're maligned correctly for their dramatics. But genre film to me is more than just dramatic success. Genre film is more than plot, character, and story. It's that X factor in each genre that I go to see genre films for. If, you know, if I really want to go see a good movie, if I'm in the mood for a good movie, I'll turn on, you know, I'll go see Shakespeare or I'll go see a really good drama. I just saw the film Sicario last night. Brilliant film. I was in the mood for something really chewy and good. I went to see Sicario. But for genre film, I am so incredibly forgiving. Now, I want genre film to be good. Let's face it. Like, I want every film to be Aliens, you know, a combination of tension and sci-fi and you know, character development. Yes, of course. I'm not an idiot. But I realized when I go to a genre film that there, that X factor is there. And that's really why I'm there. And if I get the other things, I'm grateful and surprised that it came together as well as it did. If I don't get them and I get the X factor, I'm a happy guy. You know, so I know the prequel trilogies are maligned, but I needed to put my 2 cents up to say that I will always be able to watch them without much of a fuss. So anyway, thanks for listening to my prequel trilogy rant, and I'll see you next time. Thanks once again for listening to Sci-Fi on Screen, to my returning listeners and new listeners alike. If you like what you heard, head on over to iTunes and give us a review. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any suggestions about the show, you can send an email to scifionscreen@gmail.com or feel free to leave a comment on the website www.scifionscreen.com, and you can leave a comment in the comments section of the show page. If you'd like to support scifionscreen.com, you can go to patreon.com/scifionscreen, and that's Patreon is P-A-T-R-E-O-N. And to make it easy on yourself, there is a button on the webpage that you can click. Patreon is set up so you can pick an amount you want to contribute per episode, and it'll be recurring. If you'd like to do that, that is available. We'd appreciate all the support we can get. And you can find us, again, our website, www.scifionscreen.com. We have a Facebook page, and on any smartphone, you could search for us on the podcast app and subscribe. Thanks again. See you next time.